Okay, thank you so much, everybody, for coming. Rav Willick certainly does not require any introduction, but I did want to express my personal and our family a Hakaras HaTov, tremendous Hakaras HaTov to Rav Willick, not only for coming tonight, but over the years. I enjoyed very much being in Rav Willick's shir, and we learned Maseches Be'ah, and it's a lot of Lachla Maisa and Muktzah, and all those issues. It was a very, very fun year. And I got a lot of chizuk and inspiration and started there. The following year, my father, Olav Shalom, passed away, and Rav Willick has been there every step of the way with us since. That's for me on a personal level. Then it was, but also, of course, for Simchas. Oh, this is a good opportunity for me to apologize publicly. We showed up 2 hours late to Shav Brachos. We didn't know Rav Willick was going to be there at Moshe Gordon's house, and we made him wait. I apologize, Rebbe. It was a terrible... Abla, you know, young couples sometimes can be self-absorbed. We don't think of ourselves as self-absorbed. That's because we're too self-absorbed to notice. And so I apologize for that. But then about a year later, actually it was 21 years ago on the secular calendar, exactly tonight, Moshe Lavi's 21st birthday is today. And then 8 days later, Rav Willick did the Kriyas Shem. And he spoke extemporaneously about his name, Moshe Shmuel Leib. They had no way of knowing that would be his name. He spoke about Mashal, the acronym. We'll talk about acronyms in a second. So I know that asking Rav Willick to speak last minute notice. I don't think that that's going to affect the be a problem. Rav Benish Ginsberg said to me that as soon as his house isn't big enough to fit the swelling that in his head that's going to take place, because he knows last year Rav Breitowitz spoke and this year Rav Willick is speaking, and he spoke in 2 years ago. Rav Breitowitz spoke, and this year Rav Willick is speaking. He spoke last year very beautifully. Those of you who remember. And so he said, you know, whether you hold like Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, Milan B'Kodesh or Marina B'Kodesh, it doesn't add up. He doesn't understand. So I explained to him, he's not looking at it properly. My father-in-law, Olav Shalom, had a tremendous, tremendous impact on the Woodside community. That's the community that he essentially built. He didn't just, Woodside is one of the towns in Silver Spring. And the ripple effect actually extended far beyond. But he really was essentially the acting Rav there, and he taught in the yeshiva for many years there, and he built up that community. So really, the order was first Rav Breitowitz from Woodside, and then Beinish, who's from Kent Mill, but also Silver Spring, and now we're extending to what we Woodsiders call out-of-town. out-of-town participant. I'll just finish off. Rabbi Rafal Willig is here now, I see, and when he heard that... this is the fourth Yahrzeit, and I thought the fourth Yahrzeit was very significant. I just felt that there was something very significant about it. We're starting to see some of the peros of my father-in-law. The boys actually are coming, hustling back from Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. They're starting to learn and develop their own personalities, their own Torah personalities. Personality that they got from their Zaidi, and they remember him obviously very, very well. He was a larger than life figure that, like I said, influenced many people. So I thought this year was going to be very, very special. And so I thought maybe I would even speak. I thought it would be a very to speak about that topic. And so Rav Willick, or Rafal Willick, I spoke to him about it Thursday night. So those of you who noticed, we sent an email. It didn't say who was going to be giving this year. So it was because I figured if we said I was giving this year, nobody would come. So Rafal was very nice to me, but he said maybe you should ask Beinish to speak. He was so good last year because he picked up on the fact that it was anonymous in the email. So I said Beinish certainly was wonderful, and I know people would love to hear something. But I wanted to say something special. And my chavrus Yisachar Chaim for the last dozen years was maybe less tactful. He said nobody wants to hear you. He said you should ask Shimon Isaacson to speak. So I said, you know, everybody would love to hear from Shimon Isaacson. That's very true. And I hope that we'll have decades upon decades of hearing from a lot of the Talmidei Chachamim that are in this room, Bezos Hashem. But something tells me I want to do something very, very personal, special. So and there was this theme of the fourth year. So the only halachic ramification of the fourth year that I'm aware of is Orla, is the mitzvah of Orla and Netar Avai. So after a fall, and I should have listened to her fall, I should have listened to my chavrusa, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chvod v'atzmo tells you something, you have no choice but to listen. So I was planning on speaking. I open up Sefer HaChinuch, to say the mitzvah of Orla, and I see it's mitzvah resh mem vav. Is the mitzvah of Orla. Oisyas Ramu. And I said to myself, now, those of you who have my background know that, right, to me, Resh Mem Vav is no less significant than Resh Shin Yud or Resh Mem Aleph, or it can only mean one thing. So that when I saw that it was mitzvah Resh Mem Vav, I thought I heard Matt Bornstein say that Rav Willig wasn't down. So I said almost involuntarily to Tara, who was in the kitchen, I said, I think Rav Mordechai Willig is going to be speaking tonight at the Motzei Shabbos. She said, what are you talking about? It doesn't make any sense. And within 5 minutes or so, 5-10 minutes, it was all said and done. This is all a long way of saying thank you very much. This is a very, very big schuss for us, and I believe it's a very big schuss. By the way, importantly, very much so, my mother-in-law got a lot of chizuk from knowing, and she's very honored by the fact that the Rebbe will be speaking to us. And I think it's a very big schus for my father-in-law as well. I think it's in his schus that all the Rebbe's flights were somehow misdirected, misguided notion of speaking came about. And so, it's, without further ado, I'd like to call on my Rebbe, or would like to speak to us.
A long time has passed since Dr. Ito was a Talmud of mine in the yeshiva. I believe it's just 25 years, if I'm not mistaken. I think exactly. And that's a long time. They call it a chatzi ovel, you know, it's a quarter of a century. But I still remember when Ido came to the yeshiva, to the shir, bright young face. It was a pleasure to have him in the shir. Yes, as you referred to, we had some tough times. If I'm not mistaken, the Levaya was on Shushan Purim, if I'm not mistaken, and I came running somewhere to five towns, somewhere out there, on very short notice. A very sad time in your life, at Baruch Hashem. Thanks to your Eishes Chayil. You know, Chazal tell us when we have an Eishes Chayil. Vayinochem Yitzchak. So when the person is zochah to such an Eishes Chayil as you were zochah to, from such a wonderful family, that's somehow he was able to take you from Yogol Nesimcha, Me'afel Eli Argodol. And the Dickstein family, of course, I know from David. David was a a very active member of our little group, Kemp Morasha and Yeshiva. And we maintained a long-standing relationship. But I want just, before I go into the Shia proper, to discuss with you my last significant interaction with your father-in-law. And had it all to do with Woodside. After Rabbi Reiterowitz Shlita started to go on Aliyah, there was a vacuum. And nature abhors a vacuum. And sometimes Kedusha abhors a vacuum. We just read about Isha Zanova Chalalolo Yikocho. The word Chalal means a vacuum. That's what it means. Chalal is a vacuum, and lack of Kedusha is a vacuum. There was a vacuum. And we had numerous conversations about who the next rabbi is going to be in that community. Who can step into the shoes of a rabbi with a sahad? Ilui. It's basically impossible. But nonetheless, life has to go on. And thanks to the many conversations that we had, the result is a fine young Talmud Chacham, who's written about the halachic process in the interim, has filled those shoes to the best of his ability. Also one of our Talmidim, a chevra from way back. So I'm very happy that finally, I never knew it would be final to back. I didn't know he was, I don't know if he was even sick at the time. I wasn't following. He was on the phone. He was very alert. I'm not sure the exact timing, what happened when. But before we begin the actual shiur about Sfiras Omer, apparently that's been the theme the last few years, I was just taken aback to see the top picture. Before you walk out, if you haven't seen it yet, the top picture right over here, it's a few feet from my finger. There's a picture of the Nifter when he was in his last stages and he was preparing for Pesach, which obviously those who count the Sfira is about 3 weeks before his Petira. But about 2 weeks later, it was the 12th night of the Omer, and he was unable to speak. So in a very difficult handwriting, you can see how difficult it is, he wrote out, Hayom, Shnei Mas Hayom, Shehem Shavua Echad V'Chamisha Yomim La'Omer. Truth is, had I known that, I might have changed the topic of my shir and written, spoken to you about whether you can in fact fulfill the mitzvah. Ksiva Kadibra, that's a whole discussion. But apparently, he asked his son David to research it for him before he actually fulfilled the mitzvah in this fashion. So I'm not going to go over old stuff. I'm going to give you a different perspective about Sfira by sharing with you Divrei Torah about Sfira Omer, which I hope will be accessible to everybody, men and women, old and young. At the same time, we'll have a certain level of depth, which I believe that the Nift would want. He was, as my kids say it now, he didn't like fluff. He liked stuff. That's what my son Simchah, he phrases it to me. Abad, should I speak fluff or should I speak stuff? So tonight's going to be stuff, but I hope that everyone will be up to discussing it. And the topic is the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, particularly the mitzvah of Tamimos. We read in the shul this morning, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyena. And based on this word of Tamimos, there's a very, very famous psak of the Baal HaLochos Gedolos. Very famous. Probably the most famous psak of Sfira that exists. Namely, fill in the blank, what's the most famous psak about Tamimos? Who can tell me? No? Audience participation.
If you miss a day.
If you miss a day, you're toast. If you miss a day, it's over. That doesn't say anywhere in Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, nowhere. The Baha'i seem to have made it up. Of course, the Baha'i is called for to make Kabbalah, like you and I make something up. But he said, if you miss a day, you're in trouble. And what the theme of tonight's shi will be, why are you in trouble, and other ways to somehow avoid the trouble. Okay? That's the theme for tonight. So, this opinion of the Bahag is recorded in various Rishonim. Most of us don't have Bahags in our house. Who has a Bahag in his house? Raise your hand. Nobody? Okay, I don't have one either. So, you have a Bahag? Yeah. All right, Rabbi Lerner has a Bahag. So, okay, we have to go home, and he's going to check the Bahag and see what it says in the original. Yeah. Bar Ilan, everyone has it. Okay, but that's not fair. That's already a little cheating. Okay. So, Tosus quotes in the Masechta Megillah, Daf Chof and Beis. Baha kosta of the hecha the inish inshi levarech balai. You forgot to make a bracha to count, make a bracha. Yimne lemacha below bracha v'chein alacha. Aval mshachach laila v'yom lo yimne od bebracha debina tmimos lelech. You forget at night, you count the next day without a bracha. Forget night and day, that's it. It's over. It's all over. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, but the Shulchan Aruch adds something. This is tof pei tes. Siv Zayin. Shachach v'lo bira kol alayla yuspa b'yom b'lo brocha. V'im shachach l'vorach b'echa me'ayomen. Bein yom arishon. Bein b'shar yomen. Sofer b'shar yomen b'lo brocha. That's one addition. What's going on over here? Bein yom arishon. Bein b'shar yomen. Why does Shulchan Aruch add that? As if you forget the first day, if you forget the tenth day. Why do you have to say explicitly, if you forgot the first day, or forgot some other day. Whenever the Shulchan Aruch adds a word, you know there's a reason. Anybody know the reason for that? Anybody know? Why does Shulchan Aruch take pains to say, whether you forgot the first day or some other day? Why? The answer is that the Torah quotes from Rav Sadugon, who was Rav Sadugon's from in the house? But everyone has a Torah. Torah quotes from Rav Sadugon. If you forget the first day, it's over. My granddaughter told me last night she already forgot the first day. First day is a tough, you know, it's tough. The Seder, you know. We have a Seder, you guys aren't, but we have it. But you have a tumult after Yantif. She forgot the first day. Forgot the first day? Even Rav Sadia Gaon says it's over. Forget a different day, it's not over. What's the difference? At first glance, according to the standard pshat, which I'm about to tell you, that all 49 days constitute one mitzvah. So if you miss one day, you're out. It makes no difference whatsoever whether you forgot the first day or the 10th day. It doesn't matter at all. Obviously, if you already smell something from the very beginning, from side you go, and that the first day is worse than the tenth day, that something is afoot, as we shall see. The Shulchan Aruch adds another phrase. Im musupuk im dileg yomecha v'lo safar, yispor b'shayom im beruch. If you're not sure, everyone knows this, if you're not sure that you count that it didn't count, then you can say a beruch. Where did it come from? Truma sadesh. Why? Svek svek. Svek svek. Maybe you really counted. And if you didn't count, well, maybe the Bahag is wrong. Who's the Bahag? That's what we call a Svek Svek. Fine. Very good. Now, there are ladies in the audience, correct? don't know if you want to by a show of hands, how many ladies in this audience attempt to count Sfira from Pesach until Shavuos? Raise your hand. How many attempt? Raise your hand. I won't ask how many are current. I will not ask that question. That's, you know, that's already something which is not fair to ask in public. But I see that I think the majority of the ladies in the audience raise their hands. Now, that's something interesting because it's generally assumed that women are exempt from the mitzvah. Why are women exempt from the mitzvah? Who knows? Who knows why? Mitzvah says she's man grama. Correct. There is a Ramban in Kiddushin Amidal that seems to say that they're chayev. Some say it's a mistake because no one can figure out how in the world they can possibly be chayev. But the Lamdonim say that it's not zman geroma as such. It doesn't depend upon the zman. It depends upon the korban. The korban itself depends upon the zman. But that may not be considered zman geroma. Shagasari talks about it in Turiyevin. I'm not going that far. But women attempt. And it's, I admire every woman who attempts to count sphere. I admire it. I think it's a great idea. It's a wonderful idea. But there's a problem. Mr. Brewer writes as follows, and I quote verbatim. Shulchan Shlomo Pasak Dakoponim Lo Yevorchu. See what's going on? Mr. Brewer quotes an opinion of Shulchan Shlomo that if a woman counts, she should not make a bracha. Of the ladies who raised their hands before, a lot of ladies raised their hands, who counts here without a bracha? No one. You count without a bracha? Really? Unbelievable. I don't know what it is. I can't see that far back. If you count without a bracha, you're really from. You're following Mishnah Brura. Where I come from, nobody who I know counts without a bracha.
She's
Sephardi. A Sephardi woman. That would make sense. It's not Groma. That would make sense. Okay, that's very good. But Ashkenazi women to count without a bracha, I've never heard of it. Although the Mishnah Brura seems to pass away from the Shulchan Shlomo. And what's the reason? They're going to make a mistake. What do you mean make a mistake? I assume it means is, on a simple level, they're going to forget one day and remember. Men usually remember to count the sphere in what context? Ma'ariv. Women are potter from Ma'ariv, Kamat for sure. So they don't have the ability to, it's tough. It's very hard to remember. Just imagine for you guys, men, if you wouldn't have to have a Ma'ariv, just remember out of nowhere to count the sphere. How would you remember? Okay, but they can easily forget. That's what it says. Get an impression from this Mishnah Brura. Listen carefully now. If a woman counted 40 days and she forgot day 41, she made 40 brachas levatol. That's a simple read. And therefore, the Mishnah Brura said, you want to count gesunta hate, don't you dare make a bracha. Because if you make a mistake, you'll have retroactively had 40 brachas levatol. So play it safe. You want to count, count without a bracha. Don't worry, there's not going to be a conclusion. Ladies should not, but this, you have to leave in the middle. Yeah. But this is what the Mishnah Brura seems to say. The difference would be, A, for women, what if a man knows for sure in advance he will have a day when he will not be able to count? How can that be? Who can think of a case? Dateline case, correct. Rabbi Bleich Shlita told me years ago, and he thinks if you're crossing the date line and you're going to get stuck with a pasuk, you don't know what to count or not, you should not make a bracha from day one. I like that. Now there, if you cross the date line, you can always count by day. Moreshach count by day. I guess he must have held. Counting by day is a b'di'evet. You know, after the fact, you count it by day, you can continue with a bracha. But if you know in advance, you have to only count by day, you shouldn't get involved in the first place. This could lead to a situation more readily than otherwise, a person has some kind of surgery. And you know you're going to be out. They're doing the surgery. They're going to put you out before it gets dark. And you're going to wake up the next morning, according to Rabbi Bleich, or even according to us, you wake up the next, be out for 24 hours. It could happen like that. Then you're out, finished. You shouldn't even start with the bracha on day one, according to this. I have a very famous story that Rabbi Alpert, Zal, told me. So you remember Rabbi Alpert, one of the great tzaddikim of the world. Rabbi Alpert told this story to me. I was sitting next to him at a dinner in 1980. Ooh. I can't count that time. That's a long time ago. And Arthur was Nifter in 1986, also in Sfira. But as he tells me, 1980, it was also Sfira, about the late Rabbi Breuer. Rabbi Breuer passed away on Gimel Iyar, 1980, at age 98. Rabbi Breuer davened to Hashem that his mind should be clear till the end. Everyone knew that he, and his mind was clear till the end. He couldn't see, and but he was clear till the end. But his grandchildren told Rabbi Alpert, he had three grandchildren who were physicians, who were there with him the last Shabbos. He passed away on a Shabbos in a downtown hospital in New York City. That they felt that somehow he was losing at the end. Two things happened. The first thing was, when they davened Mar Friday night, and he was finished davening, he was still able to daven by heart. They said, Opa! Sphira. And he said, Ich bin nicht rein. Everyone knows what that means? I'm not clean. He's not clean. He just finished davening, and then he says, didn't make sense. He thought maybe he's losing a little bit. He says, so Rabbi Alpert hears. Okay, I don't understand. But when he heard the second story, he saw that he was running circles around them. Because the second story was, Shabbos after he ate lunch, he did something crazy. What did he do? He took the piece of bread that was left on his table and he put it in his pajama pocket. Rabbi Alpert went crazy. The Gemara has a Masechta Shabbos. If someone passes away on Shabbos, the body is mukta. And the only way it's permissible to move the body is through kikar or tinok. He put the kikar in his pocket. I mean, he's running circles around them. And then Rabbi Alpert figured out why he didn't want to count Sphira. That night, he knew, he figured out that he's not going to live till the end of the Sphira. And he held, like Rabbi Bleich, that if you're not going to finish the Sphira, you shouldn't count. So he didn't count. Amazing story. And why didn't count without a bracha? Tzarachim. But that's, those are the two stories he told me about Rabbi Bruya, the last day of his life, from the three grandchildren. Okay, we're not going to tell real stories. Okay, let's go further. What's really, really very relevant on an annual basis for many, many individuals. Let me ask a question in this crowd this size. Who here was bar mitzvah during Sphira? There you go. Two people, bar mitzvah during Sphira. Tell me, did you count that year Sphira with a bracha? Yes or no? One said yes, one said no.
I have no clue.
You know, clue. Yes?
Yes.
Kohen Avnei Nezer, you made brachos levatol. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to pass on that way. I'm just lying to let you know. Why? Avnei Nezer says, if a person fulfills the mitzvah b'katnuso, well, they give the expression b'shtuso, that's what it's called, parsiyim, layotza, sefer rashana chavches, you're not yotze. But b'vadya paskins that way. Yup. And you have a das, b'vadya paskins, if you're by mitzvah during sphira, you can't count with a bracha. Now, we don't accept that psak for a variety of reasons. One reason is, if you counted the first 20 days Mishum Chinuch, you can finish Mishum Chinuch. Just because you're by mitzvah, no more Chinuch. That's a balabatish way to get out of it. But I'm going to give you a more lumbish way to escape that conclusion. Okay. So now we come to following. What happens if a person forgot to count at night and he counts by day? So we saw before he continues counting with a bruch. Correct? Why? The Mishnah Brewer writes again, Sfek Sveka. What's Sfek Sveka? Maybe you can count by day and be yotze. And maybe, even if you forgot, if it doesn't count, maybe the Bahag is wrong. But if you look in the original source in Truma Sedeshin, he doesn't say that. Absolutely does not say that. Sfek Sveka and Truma Sedeshin, only one case. Where you forgot if you counted or didn't count. For the whole 24 hours. You forgot. So that's a classical Sfek Sveka. He doesn't say Sfek Sveka. This is not pointed out by me. Rav Zevin already pointed it out, and others pointed it out. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. So the question becomes, why? Why? So here's my Rebbe's pshat. Rav Zevin said the same pshat and others. But I heard it from Rav Soloveitchik, Zichron of the Rocha, live. One of those Maria Shirim during Sphira. That's when I heard it from him live. The Yiddish. It was one of those great Shirim that we used to hear in those years. If you forget a day, the reason why you cannot keep counting with a bracha is not because all 49 days is one mitzvah and you can't have one without the other. That's not the pshat. You simply can't count. Can you please count? Yeah, count. 1, 2, 4. That's no count. That's not a count. Simply not a count. It doesn't make any sense. You can't say 1, 2, 4. That's no count. When the Bahag says the lax and tamimus, all he meant was, the once you miss a day, the reason you can't go on is because it can't count. It can't count 1, 2, 4. It's impossible. That is the pshat. Well, 1, 2 levatala, chas v'shalom. 1 and 2 are perfect. You forgot 3. If you say 4, that'll be a bracha levatala. But 1 and 2 are not in retrospect levatala. You follow me? According to the classical interpretation, all 49 and 1, you miss any one day, you can miss 49, you're 48 brachas levatala. According to this interpretation, whatever was great. Just so once you miss a day, you just can't go on, because you can't skip an account. That's what Tamimos means. One continuum. If you miss a day, you lack in the continuity. And that's what it means, a lack of Tamimos.
According to the Hag, then, would he say continue counting the Chalal, even without a bracha?
That's a discussion we'll be able to have a chance to get to. We'll see. So now here's the pshat. If you forgot at night and counted by day, even assuming for the moment that the count by day for sure does not fulfill the mitzvah, let's assume that. The mitzvah is only by night. Doesn't matter. It still maintains the continuity. Follow me? So say, forget, a person forgot to count Friday night. The hardest time is Friday night. People daven early Shabbos. You look at them smiling. You make early Shabbos. And you know, usually you don't even count through after Ma'ariv. Your early Shabbos, so you finish, the sun is still early, it's too early. And then you just forget. When we grew up, kids grew up in my house, they know, every fall can say Eidus. After ever we had early Shabbos, Avram can say Eidus from last night with Chaim and Elisha. As soon as we finished davening, as soon as we benched last night in his house, right, what do we do with Elisha? Right after we bench, what do we do? Don't remember.
Shema.
What happens after Shema?
Svira.
There we go. Eidus from Elisha. Right away. Because if you don't do it then, you're going to forget. And sometimes people they forget. Let's say somebody forgot to count last night. They come to shul, in my shul, when davening is over, shachas every day, they remind you, today is this, because people forget, they remember in the morning. Okay? So let's say somebody forgot to count last night, and they remember this morning they counted. They can count tonight with a bracha, not because of svek sveka. No, don't do a svek sveka. That's not what the Chumash Tradition ever said. Because when they counted this morning, maintain the continuity. Even though it's the wrong time for the mitzvah proper, but it was the 21st day, all day. So that count, 21st day by day, can maintain the continuity, and they can count tonight with a bracha. That's the pshat. Not based on svek sveka. If you look in the original sources. Chmona litzlan could happen, and it must have happened in your case, I'm sure Rebbe is in a sitting, that if someone passes away in Sfira, there's a halacha called aninus. Everyone knows what aninus is? What does aninus mean? Misha meisu mutal defonov, is potem minat krishma, minat tefillah, we call mitzvah meres matorah. So when you're in aninus, you're not even allowed to perform a mitzvah. You should be focused completely on taking care of the nifta. Right? So I'm sure when this happened, there must have been a period of aninus. And sometimes the aninus can go, depends on what time the person passes away, what time the kfur is. It can easily go 24 hours. Easily. And therefore the person is going to be finished. If the yahrzeit is tonight, those who didn't count, is 22. And let's say, for example, the children weren't able to count 22 that year. So what's going to be, they're going to miss out so much sphere. What do you do? So the Bialoha calls an opinion that you're not permitted to make a bracha, but you can still count the sphere. How's that? You can't perform a mitzvah without a bracha in aninus. Doesn't say a potter from the bracha, you're potter from the mitzvah. So how is it possible to count even without a bracha during the period of aninus? You're potter mikola mitzvahs. The answer is, listen carefully, you're not counting in order to perform a mitzvah. Not with a bracha, not without a bracha. You're counting simply to maintain the continuity. And to maintain the continuity, not l'shem mitzvah, may be done even in a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is Misha Mesa Mutal Lefonov. This is a psak quoted, goes back to Noda Behuda, quoted in the Bir Aloch.
What does it mean counting? It's not mitzvah. What left?
A person can count with a kavana for a mitzvah, and a person can count with a kavana not for a mitzvah. If we had time, we'd go into that greater depth. But we'll just mention it briefly as part of the Shia. So he's counting with kavana, she is counting with kavana, not for a mitzvah. I just want to maintain the continuity. So tonight, after the kavura, or tomorrow, I'll be able to continue to count with a bracha.
Should you count during the day?
Depends.
Because during the day, you're not counting the mitzvah anyway, so you're kavanah.
Very good, you know, very good. Excellent. That's a sharp shot. But some say you are the kind of mitzvah during the day. It doesn't take you out of the problem. Now I got back to the ladies. Some more ladies just walked in. I asked a question before. How many ladies count Sfira? Many raised their hands. I asked how many follow the Mishnah Brewer's rule from Shulchan Shlomo to leave out the bracha. Why? Because what was the lashon of the Mishnah Brewer according to Shulchan Shlomo? His words are the Vada Yitu Biyom Echot. And if you read the Mishnah Brewer's word, simply it means they're going to forget one night. And then it's going to be retroactively 20 brachas levatala. But the Mishnah Brewer in his citation, for some reason beyond us, left out 3 words from the original citation of Shulchan Shlomo. He left out 3 words, and those 3 words are Ve'enan Yodos Hadin. We know the din. They don't understand, they don't know, if you forget one night, you may not continue with the bracha the subsequent nights. There's a beautiful sefer, I saw it somewhere in someone's house, or someone's shul just over this past Shabbos. It's called, I think it's called Be'en Pesach La'atzera, or something like that, by Rav Cohen from Bnei Brak, with all those svarim. And he has all the, it's a book on Sfiras Omer, one of those svarim is called Sfiras Omer. He points this out, that the Mishbriyalucha left, Shatzian left out, Mishbriyalucha left out the 3 punchline words. That's the problem. He's not afraid a woman's going to forget counting day 40 at the first 39 of Levatollah. Chas v'shalom. The first 39 are absolutely fine. The problem is, she's not going to know that once you forget day 40, you can't say with a bracha. So the last 9 days with a bracha, that's going to be the problem. Of course, today, the women know the halachas very, very well. And they're not going to make any kind of mistake. If they forget, it's no big deal, because they're not bracha levatola retroactively. And if they do forget, they're not going to count with the bracha afterwards. They know the halacha just as well as we do. And therefore, in my opinion, and I told you not to leave, women who are counting should make a bracha. Oh. Now, my Rebbe is the Chron of the Bracha of Soloveitchik. Go back to Rav Sadugon. Rav Sadugon said, if you miss the first day, it's over. If you miss the 10th day, it's not. What's the difference? According to the classical pshat, makes no sense. Here's my Rebbe said. If you count the first day, once Reuven counts the first day, or Rachel counts the first day, all the days go automatically. It's like a counter. It goes. Once you start it, it goes. You obviously you're supposed to count yourself. But in case you forget, Chalila, so it'll go by itself. You counted one, but by definition, the next day is 2. So once you counted one, you got it started, it's fine. However, if you miss the first day, then it didn't start, and then it's all over. You understand very well. Rav Sadion can only be explained with the continuity pshat, not the pshat of all one mitzvah. So since Rav Sadia Gaon held that way, that's why I get to repeat, if you miss the first day, it's over. But if you miss any other day, it's not, because it goes by itself. That indicates that that's the general shita. And the Sefer HaChinuch in mitzvah Shin Vov, this is what he writes. I read you what he says. Mi sheshochach yomechad yomar, emesh hoyu kach. Can you imagine that? If someone forgot last night, so tonight he says, last night was 21, and tonight is 22. And he says, unbelievable. That's what Sefer HaChinuch says. Yeah? And he says as follows, Umone ha'acherim im kol Yisrael. And you count the other days, im kol Yisrael. What does that mean? That means, according to the Chinuch, something amazing. We said before, you can't count 1, 2, 4. Because you're right. You counted 1, 2, you left out 3. On day 4 you say, yes, there was 3 and today is 4. He outsmarted us. The Baha'i said, you can't do that. You can't say, yes, there was 3. That's ridiculous. It's too late. You can't count Sfira. I'll count Sfira in the winter. You know, I mean, yes, there was 3. But the Chinuch said, you can say, yesterday was 3. That works. According to the Sefer HaChinuch. Amazingly. Amazing. That's what he says. What's in Kol Yisrael? My Rebbe explained, in Kol Yisrael means, Kol Yisrael count the Bismano, you can join up with them. Oh. So now, Rabbi Osai, having said all this, we come to my last point.
He would say the same thing if you missed 2 days in a row?
Yeah. 2 nights ago was this. Why not? I don't see why not. In many shuls, there's a problem. Just as we had, for example, last night, I davened in a shul called Ava Shalom, and they made early Shabbos, and we finished, it was before 7, we finished Ma'ariv, and the Gabbai is giving a whole bunch of announcements, 7:21, 7:31, 7:51, not much of what he was talking about, but I know they did not do it, they did not count Sphere. But you know, in some places, they would count Sphere right then. After Plag HaMincha, if you daven Ma'ariv, you have to Plag HaMincha, and this seems to be quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Unbelievable. I'll read you the words. HaMispalel imatzimim vivod yom, mo neimoam belo brocha. Vim yizko balayla yavarach v'yispor. So you should have counted, everybody should have counted last night, right? 21 at 7 o'clock, whatever, this is, before 7. And if you remember, after 8, whenever everyone's dark, you'd say with a broch. Frek the Rashba, wait a second. If you were Yotzei at 7 o'clock without a brocha, you make a brocha at 8 o'clock, what do they call that? A BL. Brocha Levatala. So, that's the Rashba's kasha. He doesn't understand what's going on over here. The Magen Avraham quotes it. It's a brocha Levatala. Oh. Here's my answer. My answer is, if you count at 7 o'clock when the sun sets at 7:30, you're certainly not fulfilling the mitzvah. Forget about it. Not even a chance. But, since it's after Plag HaMincha, and you can daven Ma'ariv, right? And if it's Friday Chanukah, you can light Chanukah in the licht. And some say in a pinch, you can read the Megillah and the Shas HaTzchak. It's enough to maintain the continuity. The same idea we had, if a person counts by day, he maintains the continuity. So too, if you count after Plag HaMincha, you certainly do not fulfill the mitzvah. It's even worse than by day. By day, it's the same day. This is before the day even started. But it's close enough to maintain the continuity. Since you certainly did not fulfill the mitzvah, there's no Shalei Bracha Levatola later on. This is the pshat. Oh. Now it's true that Magen Avraham didn't learn that pshat. Full disclosure. He said it's a mitzvah al tanai. You say it's not. If I remember later tonight, then my counting now is nothing. If I don't remember, then it's something. And then maybe something, you can be yotzei in a pinch. My Rebbe, quoted from his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisk, who said, you cannot fulfill a mitzvah al tanai. No such thing. No such thing. Time doesn't allow me. He'd go to Lumdus, why Reb Chaim is right, and how can the Magen Avraham be the Magen Avraham is right? Has to do with the Rebbe Chonan, with Maisa Mitzvah, with Kiyum Mitzvah. But we can't go into it tonight. But that's what the Magen Avraham says, pshat. The truth is, it can't be pshuta. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch says, the very next if, someone asks you, Ben HaShemoshes, how many days is it? What do you tell them? Yesterday, with someone. Could you tell them today, you can't come with a bracha. But before Ben HaShemoshes, no problem. Why no problem? According to the Magen Avraham, could we potentially fulfill the mitzvah even before Ben HaShemoshes if you didn't make it tonight? So the Magen Avraham tzad and Siv Gimel, it seems to be contradicted by Siv Dalet. Very, very difficult. Very difficult.
Wait, why is Ben after Ben HaShemoshes better? That you don't have in mind to go to the mitzvah, you're just telling him.
Okay, that's another issue. What you have in mind, don't have in mind. We're afraid that B'Stam you do have in mind, or maybe B'Tzah Zayin Tzichus Kavona, etc. I'm going to go back now to the original the Shulchan Aruch took it from, and prove to you against the Magen Avraham. I'll read you now from the original. The original is the Beis Yosef called the Avud Raham, who quotes a Matzah Vitri. Got it now? Beis Yosef, Avud Raham, Matzah Vitri. You got the... And it's a quote. HaMispal Matzim Bebel Yom, Mona Lemin Belo Brocha. Meimar Amar. Im Eskar Balayla Beveisi, Achsev Avorech Kedin. Vedim Sushlo Birachti Levatola. Vim Eshkach, Hare Manisi Yomim Meshuas Mitzvah. Avol, this is the Avodram speaking. Haram bam kosav imono v'lo birich yotza v'cheniko. Not do it tonight. Imono v'lo birich yotza. Obviously, imono v'lo birich yotza. Who disagrees with that? Who disagrees with that? All mitzvahs in the whole Torah. If you don't make a bracha, You can fulfill the mitzvah anyway. Everyone knows that brachos are not makvos. What's going on over here? You get an impression from the Avud Raham that the Machzor Vitri held, if you don't make a bracha, you're not yotze, and it's against the Rambam. That's why the Machzor Vitri is wrong. What's going on? Here's the answer. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. There's a famous Rav Yoh, also quoted in Shulchan Aruch. What if a person had in mind the wrong day and he changed it in the middle from the third day to the fourth day? Compared to Gemara Masechta Brachos, the famous Gemara in Daf Yud Beis, a person started by saying he thinks he's supposed to make a bracha on beer, on wine, and he starts with one kavan. They ask him, what are you talking about? There, you had the wrong bracha in your head. Here, the bracha is the same bracha every night, 49 times the same bracha, just the day is different. Says the Vilna Gaon, the Rav Yoh's text every single night. How did the Rav Yoh count Sfira tonight? Hayom, what does it say? Shnayev Yesrim Yoh, right? That's it? Wrong. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushah B'mitzvosov, V'tzivonu Al Sfira Sa'omer, Sheh, Hayom, Shnayev Yesrim Yoh, etc. Which means, the whole Sfira is part of the bracha. The way we have it, it's a bracha. You turn the next page, and it tells you, you put in the day. No, not in Rav Yoh's Siddur. Every day has a bracha with a shin, shehayom. So you even started thinking to make a shahakal and you ended up making a prayer gofen, because 21, 22 is a different bracha. So according to this Rav Yoh, if you didn't say a bracha, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. We learned before, all the mitzvahs in the Torah, the bracha is not ma'akev, you can have the mitzvah out of bracha. I'll ask you a question. You washed this afternoon, we had for chalashudah, so for the sudah. Tell me, can you bench without a bracha? Bracha is not ma'akev. That's ridiculous. Benching is a bracha. You made kiddush last night, you can make without a bracha? It's ridiculous, because the mitzvah is the bracha. So too, according to the Rav Yoh, the mitzvah is the bracha. If the Rav Yoh is right, then the Machzor Vitri is right. I can count without a bracha. I'm certainly not yotze, because a bracha is a mitzvah. But it's enough to maintain the continuity. But since the Rambam says the bracha is not miyakev, that option is foreclosed. Foreclosed. Because once I say those words, the fear is maybe I might be yotze, and therefore, can't do it.
It's another reason women should not make a bracha. If women don't make brachas and mitzvahs, they should have grandma.
But Ashkenazi women...
I'm looking at Ram by Abdullah.
Very good. But Ashkenazi women these days don't follow any women than their husbands. And since we don't follow the Rav Yoh, so they don't have to follow the Rav Yoh either. I want to conclude with one nakuda. If we're talking about Sfira as one continuum, you go up, 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 and up. You're all of a madrega every single day. You understand something which, generally speaking, you don't find in most siddurim. But every siddur that I've seen, has it. That's the spheros. Not the sphera. The spheros. Now, spheros are usually Kabbalistic notions which don't make their way into the... I'm not talking about Hasidic siddurim. Nusach Ashkenaz, the art scroll, every siddur has it. It's spheres. And we know there's seven spheres and seven, everyone knows. Because somehow Klal Yisrael has it in them that this is not just a dry mitzvah of doing something. Every day it's supposed to go one notch higher, one notch closer to Kabbalah Satorah. One notch to greater perfection in Midas. That's what the sphere is all about. From Talmid Rabbi Akiva. One notch closer to an appreciation of Torah HaKadosha, as we are supposed to remember on Shavuos. Every day we go up a notch. Every single day we're supposed to go higher and higher in our count. And just as we said before, that not to shout all 49 is one mitzvah, but rather, you can't jump a step. So too the Balei Musar explained, you want to have an aliyah in Torah and Chesed, has to go b'hadraga, one step at a time. It's like a ladder. you try to go two steps up at a time, chas v'chalila, you end up on the floor. You have to go slowly, incrementally, a little bit at a time. And that's what we have to take away from these days, to take away from the shiur being given in memory of a very, very chashuv nifter, whose yahrzeit is tonight, a man who had tremendous kishrinus, who was known as an ilui in his youth, and he used, as we heard before from Dr. Ito, that he used his kishrinus, aside from his professional life, to establish a community, to establish a wonderful family. Up, up, and up. I couldn't help but notice, looking at my siddur tonight, which I don't always look, but tonight's sphera in the spheres is Chesed Shebenetzach. The fourth week is Netzach. The first day is Chesed Shebenetzach. And I was thinking to myself, what a perfect way to describe the Nifter. He was a tremendous Baal Chesed. There are a lot of people who, because of their Iluyin, they're such great Baal Kishrin, they don't have patience for the average Joe. He was never that way. Never. And people who are Iluyim, they don't have the patience to deal with community matters. You know, you deal with community matters, you get dirty. You have opponents. I found out a lot of things, not just from that one series of phone calls. We're not going to repeat anything. But I did learn that someone who was an intellectual, who was a brilliant man, wouldn't have to necessarily quote, lower himself to get involved in the holach yelech, to make sure the best rabbi comes into the community. And he was fully behind it. I was really put all of his kaychas into it. That's chesed. But the most important word of all is Sheben Netzach. We believe in Hasharas HaNefesh, that the neshama that passes on from this world goes into a world of Nitzchias, a world of Netzach, a world of eternity. A world of eternity. And that world of eternity, the individual is receiving the tremendous schar for all the Torah, for all the chesed, for all the kindness, for all the good deeds, for all the wonderful, wonderful things that were done during a full lifetime. Lifetime was too short. But within that lifetime, he packed in so much Torah, so much chesed, so many mitzvahs. Now I speak to the Rebbe in Atara, which he is, and to the whole family, your siblings, you can quote it in my name. Now it's up to you. Barah mizak abba. The Mefarshim explain, Hayom la'sosam amocha l'kabel scharam, that a person is in this world, you can do tremendous things. Once you're in that world, you can't do any more mitzvahs. You can't do anything. Nonetheless, children, it's true of biological children and their spouses, and grandchildren in particular. I mean, if there are any grandchildren here, that that's who it really applies to the most. But you know, it goes beyond that. As we heard before, the influence of the Nifter went to the entire Woodside community, even reached New York, the out of town. So the influence on others is impactful for the neshama. The Mefarshim explain, when a person passes away, there's the Yom Adin. The Mefarshim also quote, this is from based on Chazal, at the end of days, to be a Yom Hadin HaGodol. And the Mefarshim asks Kasha Beferish. That if the person can, after he passes on, can't do anything, so when you're the Yom Hadin HaGadol for? He was judged after his Petira. So this is a fourth yahrzeit. He was already judged then. What's more judgment? What can't do anything. What Yom Hadin HaGadol? So this is found in Rabban Cutler's Sfarim, that the Yom Hadin HaGadol is necessary, because then it'll be, a cheshbon will be made on the impact that a person made during his lifetime, which goes on and on and on, children and grandchildren and students' students. And it goes on forever, literally. So that's what is the Yom Hadin HaGadol, to measure all the great things that happen in the good case, and Chalila V'chas bad, we won't say. That makes a tremendous responsibility on the family and all those who are in this community to see to it that they do good things, because so much of the good that they will have done and will do is based on what they learn from him. And therefore it will give him what we call an Aliyas Neshama. And there's no need to wait till the Yom HaDin HaGadol. We hope it'll be tomorrow. We're waiting for that day, right? what we were in shul a month ago. Hina nochi shaleachem et Eliyahu Hanavi lifnei Yom Bo Hashem Hagadol v'Hanora. That's called the Yom Adin Hagadol. That's the day. We hope it'll be tonight. We sing Eliyahu Hanavi, right? Melav Malkum. We hope it'll be tonight, but Chalila v'Chas, it won't be for a period of time. We don't know. Every Yom Kippur is also a judgment on those who came before. It's called the Chazal say Yom Kippurim, plural, l'chaim v'lamesim. It's based upon a sifri. Karpo le'amcha Yisrael shepadis Hashem. The Chazal didn't say in the sifri, both for chaim and for those who are mesim. Why? What happens since last Yom Kippur? The answer is the same. You don't have to wait till Yom until the Asal Lava, because children and grandchildren and students and those who influence in the community did X many good things or bad things since last Yom Kippur, so that accrues to the, hopefully, to the betterment of Chalila B'chas, the opposite of the person who's up there. Chesed Shebenetzach. Whoever came tonight, to the Gemilas Chesed Shebenetzach, a chesed to a neshama that's now in the world of Nitzrius, that the people, such a beautiful crowd, came together tonight in his memory to learn Torah, to hear the Rechizuk. That itself is a tremendous aliyas neshama. So I thank you all for coming to do this Chesed Shebenetzach. I thank Ido for inviting me to come to participate in this Chesed Shebenetzach. We should be zocher very quickly to that Yom HaGodol V'Hanora V'Heishe Le'Ravos Avonim Le'Avonim Alavosim V'Mher of Yomeinu Amen. Yeah.